You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Good morning, church. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We continue on our series of study from the Gospel according to Matthew. We have taken an unplanned long break from the series. This morning, we begin where we left off, looking at Jesus, the King, and His kingdom, learning from there, learning of our privileges to be the children of God, our privileges to be the inhabitants of His glorious kingdom, and consequently display on daily basis a godly character, display on daily basis a righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribes. We read from verse 21 to verse 26, and the title of this message this morning, Sinful Anger. We're looking at sinful anger from verse 21 to verse 26, and I'm reading from the ESV. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whosoever murder will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whosoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go first to be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. May the good Lord add the blessing to the reading of His word. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, this morning, as we come before you, Heavenly Master, having taken a long break from the series according to Matthew, where we look at Jesus and we answer, who is this Jesus? Is this Jesus the same Jesus we worship today? And what is our privilege, O God, in Him? Thank you, Father, for showing us your Son. Continue to do so even this morning. Continue, O Heavenly Father, to teach us His teachings and His commands also this morning for our own good as the citizens and inhabitants of your righteous kingdom. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say Amen. Amen. We have seen through the sermon, we have seen Jesus emphasizing time and again the importance of a godly character, the importance of a Christian character, how we conduct ourselves among those who are not Christians. Because we are the emblem of righteousness. We bring the greatest influence and the lasting effects on earth. If you remember well, in the study that we did before, we have seen that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. So our influence is great. We need to be that great influence, an influence that brings lasting effect on earth. So we're going to see here that whatever comes out of our mouth as well is of great importance. What comes out of our mouth proves whether we are His or we are not. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth shall speak. So what's going on within the heart is what separates the believer and the unbeliever. That is where the difference is. It is not on the things that people do with their hands that separate who is a believer and who's not a believer, but what is happening within the heart, simply because the sin that the unbeliever do in the eyes of many is of equal effect and consequence with the sin that takes place in the secret compartment of the heart of any professing believer. So what they do, regardless the fact that you don't do, if that is exactly that is in your heart, you have the same consequences against you. That is the point that we're going to see this morning. What Jesus has been doing from verse 2 to verse 20 is to tell us of what and who we are in Him, who we are in this kingdom of God, but also the benefit of being true Christians. And then as He was dealing with that, He transitioned to show us the importance of the Word of God, the authority and the infallibility of the Scriptures, to show us that the Scriptures stands the test of time. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God will not pass away. What does it mean? What does that mean? Everything else will come to an end, but God's Word stands forever. So rather, hold on to that which stands the test of time. Hold on to that that will stay with you throughout this life into eternal life. That is the Word of God. Then, in verse number 20, He shows us that there is righteousness, that is righteousness of the world, but there is also righteousness, that is righteousness from Him. He says we must have righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees. In other words, our righteousness does not depend on our outward doings. Our righteousness does not depend on our religion. It depends on the relationship we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our righteousness is not something that we earn, something that we work for, but our righteousness is something that is imputed unto us. It is given to us, lavished unto us by grace, not because we deserve, but by the grace of God. As Christ died on that cross, he lavished us with righteousness, for He loved His people. This morning, we're looking at His first warning. He has not said anything as exhortation or warning from verse 2 to verse 20. Now He's starting to give us warning. Why? Because we still live in the world. We live among a people who are still fallen. We are also a fallen people, yet saved by the grace of God, but we still live among a people who are sinful. So now He wants to warn us, He wants to teach us how we should be, how we should react, how should we think and feel in this life as we go through, looking forward unto the coming future, unto the life with Him in heaven. So this is the first instruction this morning. He says the spiritual condition of the heart matters before God. Therefore, there should be a match between the integrity of your life and your worship of God. How you live your life and how you worship God, there should be a match. There should be a link between the two. There should be no separation between the two. There should be a link between the two. In other words, then, we cannot cry tears of heartfelt worship. We cannot cry tears or come to God and lift up our hands, as it were, saying to Him, like the angels in chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, saying to Him, "Holy, holy, holy is God who seated on a throne." We cannot be able to do that if our life does not match with what the Scripture says. We cannot do that. That is what Jesus is saying. We cannot come with tears of heartfelt worship while on the left hand you still hold a double-edged sword that you want to pinch through the side of a friend. So you cannot come before God with an evil heart while professing to have a clean heart. That is the point here. He speaks of sinful anger. That is our theme this morning. sinful anger a problem which needs immediate attention. It needs immediate attention for three reasons that I want to show to you this morning. Firstly, is that sinful anger is murder. Friends, I'm speaking from scripture. We need to take what I'm saying very serious. Sinful anger is murder. Verse 21 and verse 22, as you look at your Bible, it says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whosoever murder will be liable for judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable for judgment." So the first thing Jesus deals with here is the sin of murder. Of course, everybody sitting here says, "I have not murdered someone." Well, I cannot say the same like you. But I have not murdered someone. You're sitting here saying, "I don't have that crime." But Jesus here is going to draw you to see that if you have sinful anger in your heart, you are a murderer. We shall see that just now. So, Jesus Christ says there is something more dangerous than murdering a person physically. There is a more dangerous way of committing murder. That is whereby you murder someone without a knife. You murder someone through sinful anger. You murder someone through what is in your heart. And sinful anger is a thief which eventually will steal your effective worship to God. It will steal that from you because it sits within your heart. Now you are not effective in what you should be doing for God because there's anger that is brewing and sitting at the bedrock of your heart. Jesus says that is murder. And in dealing with that, he first shows us first the importance and the significance of the scriptures. He says, "You heard." If you look at your Bible, verse 21, "You have heard." So in other words, Jesus says, what you have heard is true and is still binding today. What is that? God said, "You shall not kill." But I'm here to tell you, that's Jesus now, there is something else, not in contrary to this, not something canceling or scratching or tearing the pages of scripture apart on what God said, but there is something more. It is not just a physical murder that should worry you. There is something more that I want to bring to you. It is not just an act of murder, that physical act that will lead someone to hell, but also that which is brewing from within their heart, murdering people as though with a knife. And in many ways, friends, since we are doing exposition, in many ways, you realize here that Jesus is actually counterfeiting the misconception, he's correcting the misconception of the teachers of the past, the misconception of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. What was the misconception? That people are better or people are righteous simply because they have not murdered any person. Simply because we are righteous people, simply because we have not pulled a trigger and shot someone. You are a righteous person simply because we have never taken a dagger and stabbed someone on a side and killed him. You have not lifted up a sword against someone. The Pharisees will say, "You are at least getting somewhere. If you can just join us then and follow us, then you become a righteous person." Jesus says, no, it does not depend on what you have done. It depends on what is within their heart. Regardless of the fact that you have not strangled a man to death, but if your heart is filled with sinful anger, you stand under judgment. So Jesus is taking this matter into a higher level of responsibility and command. He's just lifting things up from where the Sadducees and the Pharisees were. He just wants to train our minds to think how God will think, not how the world will think. To judge things in accordance to how God will judge things, not how the world would like to teach us to judge things. He is just lifting up this thing into a higher level, a level of responsibility. Jesus takes this matter into a true spiritual scope of things, that we may put glasses that fits the matter. Those who have glasses is either reading glasses or glasses that you put because you've got problems with your eyes. There are levels of lenses that the glasses have. You need to put the specific glass to see a specific thing. So Jesus says, here now, we as Christians need to see that the standard is actually higher than what the world teaches. We need to see things in accordance to how God will see things. He says, God demands a pure heart, not only clean hands. Because the Pharisees were saying clean hands. Everybody says, as long as your hands are clean. God demands pure heart. Though he demands clean hands, but also pure heart. Not only clean hands, a pure heart. That's what God demands. Which is why then Jesus says in Matthew 5 verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. Only the pure in heart will see God. Not those with clean hands. The pure in heart will see God. And that stands in contrary to a sinful anger. A sinful anger does not show us that a person has a pure heart. It is in contrary to sinful anger, which eventually fills the heart with impurity and murder. He quotes Exodus 20 verse 13. He says, you shall not murder. In other words, you must know that only God has the right to give life, and only God has the right to take away life. And in the same way then, everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable for judgment. Anyone who is angry with his brother in a sinful way or in a way that leads to sin, that person is a murderer. But I want you to notice here, friends, as you read this verse, the warning in this verse is not primarily to the point that you are liable for judgment. The warning is not in that. The warning is to show how important our relationship with one another is before the eyes of the Lord. The statement that Jesus is bringing here emphasizes the seriousness of the crime. But how serious is the crime of sinful anger? The statement emphasizes that there is something wrong within the heart, and its consequences will lead to an equal judgment with the judgment of murder. That is what Jesus wants us to see. And friends, we must admit, as a people, we know it is true. We normally ignore to deal with the issues or the subject of anger. When we are angry, we don't want to deal with it. And before you know it, it has turned into sinful anger, leading to an inward stream of murder. All the thinking, whereby you are angry to a point, whether that person lives or dies, you do not care. But according to Jesus, that kind of anger is just a cold war happening within your heart, eventually leading to many dead bodies lying around within your heart. And then in your heart begins to fume up stink of death. He says it's just a cold war, leaving families stranded, leaving families and friends without peace and love, destroying marriages, sinful anger. He speaks, if you look at your Bible, he speaks of being angry with a brother. Being angry with the person you have something common with. This person you share the same parents with, that is a brother or a sister. You are angry in this way to a person you share parents with, a person you share food with, a person maybe you share a house with. But in the context of this, you are angry with a person you share God as a father with.
But within your heart, you are angry in a way that you don't even care that this person dies or he lives. Being angry with the person you should love and be his or her keeper. Being angry with someone you will eventually spend your eternity in heaven with. That's how hypocritical this is in the eyes of the Lord. The question that Jesus has in mind, I think, that maybe we should have in mind, is that, have you not heard, friends, that loving your brother is an evidence that you belong to God, not Satan? The scripture says, loving one another, loving your sister and brother, is an evidence that you belong to God, you don't belong to Satan. And for that reason, you are supposed to practice righteousness. For that reason, it is expected of you to have a right attitude towards a brother or a sister. So what Jesus is against, my friend, is not anger, is sinful anger. The anger which brings forth works of the flesh. The anger which brings forth from the inside of the heart, it brings out jealousy. That kind of anger. The anger that brings out enmity, quarrels with one another. The anger that brings divisions. The anger that brings drunkenness. Some people, when they are angry so much, they would rather get drunk so that they don't deal with their matter, but everything seems to work okay, apparently. That kind of an anger, that you don't want to deal with the issue, but you rather cover the issue with something else. Yeah, you rather cover the issue with religious matters. You just want to be in the eyes of the Lord, but there is something brewing within your heart. That is what Jesus is against. Not anger, sinful anger. And the Bible is clear on those things, friends. What does the Bible say? It says that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That is a warning we must have. That is what Jesus wants us to know. And that is very relevant to us this morning. How is that so? Because, friends, we have professing Christians among us, people who call themselves children of God, but still holding grudges. But they are calling themselves children of God. It is relevant to us. You have a wife still mad, angry mad to her husband about something which happened 20 years ago before they both even came to Jesus. Still angry. The husband is so furious about some stuff that happened before they even knew there was a Bible in their life. Now they have come to Jesus, but they are still angry with one another. There's unresolved issues within their heart. And consequently, people act sinfully. The family is divided. There is no unity. There is no peace among them. They cannot do anything together without hurting one another. They cannot be in one room for 5 minutes without threats and chaos. They put each other down. There is no encouragement. Only negativity and unnecessary fights and so on and so on. You know the story. But Jesus says that is not true Christianity, my friend. Why? Because we have a responsibility to one another. We have a responsibility to God, but also a responsibility to one another. A responsibility to forgive one another. I'm going to repeat that. We have a responsibility to forgive one another. We have a responsibility not to give the devil a chance to divide us, a chance to make us fight as family. That is our responsibility. It lies on you to deal with the matter of sinful anger, because we are responsible to one another. So, do not be a brewery of anger, and then you brew your anger, then you spread that toxic alcohol throughout other people. That is what Jesus is saying. Do not be like that, because that is not a righteousness which exceeds the righteousness of the scribe and the Pharisees. Does that mean you should not be angry? No, friends. Jesus is not teaching us that we should not be angry. That is why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. What is the point there? You must solve all the unresolved issues within the heart before sunset. You must no longer live like that old man or old woman that used to be. Now you must show off, if I may use that word, show off the man that is within you, the Spirit of God that is within you now must shine forth, so that you do not act or live like the man or woman of the past. So each and every one of us needs to be careful of his own sin. Be careful of your own heart. Be careful how you deal with matters. Deal with the tension that is within your heart. Because sinful anger is within your heart. Jesus says you need to deal with what is within your heart. You need to be sober-minded. You need to allow the Spirit of God to guide you. So church, if you suffer such sinful anger, you need to be honest to yourself. Be honest to yourself. And expose your sin, expose your heart to Jesus Christ, or else you will be liable for judgment, because sinful anger is murder. That is the first point. But we continue to see here, secondly, that sinful anger leads to damnable insults. Sinful anger leads to damnable insults. Now, because of sinful anger, there is a horrifying flood of words of insult coming out of the mouth of the of the believer because of sinful anger. But what does that lead up to? Verse 22. Whosoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whosoever says fool will be liable to hell, the hell of fire. Here again we see the fallenness of the human heart. How do we see that? There is a flood of insult springing out of the heart of sinful men. Insult flying out at workplaces. Even in our national parliaments, we see insults flying out, flying around there. Insults flying on the road as drivers insult one another. Why? There is something wrong with men's heart. People have no respect for one another. People have murderous hearts, and from their murderous hearts spring forth these damnable insults, like calling people names and swearing at people, racism, tribalism. Remember the xenophobic attacks we have here in South Africa, we had here, is from within a sinful heart. Heart filled with anger and jealousy. Why? Because the foreigners are making it. They have shops that makes money and yours is not making money. Now you've got a problem in your heart. Then you start to act and to insult and to murder. Racism spring forth from these things. I hope you have come across that horrible statement made by a lady called Penny Sparrow or something like that on Facebook, a racial statement. You have come across that perhaps, but what does that tell you? That tells you, my friend, there is something wrong with man's heart. From within her heart came out sinful insults, starting to call people names and calling people monkeys. Why? There's hatred within the heart. Now it's springing out. Hatred is springing out from that bitter, bitter heart. A heart separate from Jesus. And Jesus says we need a heart connected to him. Because a heart connected to him will not speak such words. A heart connected to him will not lead someone to act in that sinful way. Jesus says, those who insult other people are liable before the Lord. That's what he says first. What did he mean by that?
you were liable before the council. Probably there he was talking about you at the time liable to the Jewish council of the time, which is exactly as our court today. So an insult, we are, if you insult people, we are liable to a court of law. So the court of law in South Africa must deal with you because of insults. So people like Penny Sparrow must be dealt with through courts. But Jesus says, it is not only that. The court will take his part and deal with you, but you must also deal with God. You see that in your scripture? He says you must deal with God. Verse 22, he raised the standard. He says, but I say to you, whosoever says fool will be liable to hell fires. We are not only liable to the court here on earth, but heaven awaits to judge you as well. That's how serious an insult is. So it's not just a small matter. Things that come out of our mouth are not just small matters. There is greater judgment for the sin of insult and defamation of character. Divine judgment will fall upon those who insult others. Why? Why is that? Take a guess why. Simply because man is made in the image of God. So when you insult, you're insulting the image of God. When you insult the image of God, you're insulting God himself. That is why you'll be liable to fires of hell. So, what you see here, unlike the Pharisees who were concerned about works of the flesh, were concerned about clean hands, were concerned about this life, Jesus points out that what is happening within the heart will lead many straight to the jaws of hell. Because it is from a murderer's heart that we speak in such terms. It is from a murderer's heart that we have such a language and a tone against one another. So we must not think that when your relationship is not fine with men, don't think that your relationship is fine with God. You are accountable to law here, but you're also accountable to God. There has to be that balance. Things must be put on a balanced scale so that things can be judged the right way. So you need to be very careful of what comes from your mouth. Listen to what James chapter 3 verse 6 says. Listen to what the Bible says. He says, and the tongue is a fire, a wealth of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, tongue, and set on fire by hell, tongue. What we say matters. The bottom line is, avoid war of words. Cast down your war machine, throw them at the feet of the cross. Look unto Jesus, the Savior, and give everything unto him. And learn to tame and to tame your tongue. Insults cause tensions, friends. Insults cause a destruction. Insults cause a separation between people. It destroys friendship. Insults inflames anger. It distracts fair communication. Insults divide people and destroy families. Insults flies like hand grenades from one hand to another until someone else is murdered, until someone else is dead. That is what we see here. Insult promotes the language and the heartbeat of Satan. It is a true display of unclean lips, which needs the cleansing by the power of the Spirit. You can see from the writing of James that such words come straight from hell. So each and every one of us, friends, need to examine our hearts. We need to constantly examine your hearts and learn from Jesus, because Jesus is in his own class. Remember, in chapter number 23, Jesus says in verse 17 to the scribes, you blind fools. There's the word there. But he says, if you say fool to someone, you'll be liable to hell. But he says, you blind fools. We need to learn from Jesus.
This is not sinful anger. This is godly anger. This is godly anger. He is angry because people are bringing God's name into disrepute. I'll show you that a little bit. So, does it mean when you say fool, you're going straight to hell? That's not what Jesus says. But such a sin deserves the fires of hell. Because it's a serious sin. Saying, you fool, or insulting someone in a way that is related to this. So in other words, my friends, should Jesus have not died for us, we will all find ourselves in the pit of hell. Because we all have insulted someone. Praise to God that he has died for us. So what do you need to do? You need to take advantage of the fact that Jesus paid for your sin. Then live a righteous life. Live righteously with other people. Speak kind words with other people. It's difficult because I also don't speak all the time kind words to people. It's very difficult, but what is necessary? Repent or burn. That is what Jesus is calling us to here. So, we see that there are times when the word fool is not used to insult, but as an expression pointing to the fallenness of the human heart. Sometimes in righteous anger, we use that word to point to people blinded by Satan. For instance, people who are so foolish to the point that they think that there is no God. Nonto, if you can sit down, young lady, then I'll be fine. Okay, back to our text. People who are so foolish to the point that they think that they can exchange the worship of God to idols. That is foolishness. Thinking you're going to worship an idol, but there's a God in heaven. People foolish to the point that they think there is no God, that God does not exist. They refuse to receive the evidence that is out there. Even their own conscience tells them day by day, there is a God in heaven. They refuse, there is no God. That is foolishness. So you use that word to point to the fallenness of the heart. That is in a righteous way. Remember what the Bible says in Psalm 14 verse 1? It says the fool says in his heart there is no God. Why? Because they are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is none who does good. That is why they say there is no God. Because they are fools. That is where this word fits. Only it fits here. Proverbs 1 verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. That is not an insult. So church, we need to be warned. Insults will lay you a bed of roses in the pit of hell. Because it comes easy, but it will take you to the jaws of the flames. Deadly. Not only is a sinful heart is murderous heart, not only does it bring damnable insults, but deadly, sinful anger and insults affect worship. That is the main point. It affects your relationship with God. Verse 23 to 25. So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother is something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and confess to be reconciled with your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to the court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge hands you over to the guard and you put in prison. The point here, my friends, is that you cannot afford to deal with people in a sinful manner and continue to stand before God as an angel. And that is exactly what the Pharisees were doing. It is exactly what many people are doing today. What you need to know, my friends, is that our vertical relationship is equally important to our horizontal relationship. What does that mean? Our relationship with one another is as important as the relationship we have with God. You cannot claim, like I said before, to have a good relationship with God when you don't have a good relationship with another Christian, especially Christians. You cannot be. There's this cross, vertical, horizontal. A relationship works that way. Our relationship with God
is equally important with the relationship we have with one another. So, what Jesus says here, it is far more important to be reconciled with your brother than coming to religious practices. It is far important to be reconciled with people than to bring your gift to God. You should never involve yourself or commit yourself religiously if you know that you still have a problem with your brother. You must be reconciled. So, church, a healthy relationship is much more important than giving. Not that giving is not important, but a healthy relationship is more important than giving. And a bad relationship, surely it affects your relationship with God. Your relationship with people matters. If your relationship with people doesn't matter, then there's something wrong with your heart. You're fooling yourself, thinking that your relationship is right with God, when your relationship is not right with your brother and sister. You cannot be fine with God when we are not fine with your brother and sister. What is Jesus requiring from us? Put it upon you and take that extra mile as a Christian, as a child of God. Go out there, seek reconciliation yourself. Seek to be reconciled to the people you have offended. That's number one. But also seek to be reconciled with the people who have offended you. Because now you are bringing a gift before God. You remember that someone has got something with you. You need to go and reconcile with the people, especially if that person is not a Christian. Because he's not going to come to you and says, I recognize I was wrong there. Go tell the person, you know what, you were wrong there. And I just want to be clear that I'm angry with that. But now, I just want you to know. You can say sorry, I'll forgive you. But even if you don't say sorry, I still forgive you. Then from there, you can come to God and bring your gift. So, God is not saying, I don't want your gift. But God wants you to see the importance of reconciliation. The importance of purity and holiness of God. Importance of genuine worship. That's what you need to see. So, your worship is not affected because you are angry. No. Or you were angry. No. What affects your worship is because you have unresolved matters running through the veins of your heart and the highways of your mind. That is the problem that God or Jesus is dealing with here. So, what does he want us to do? Look back, search your heart, try to see, remember the sins you have committed, remember the sins you have not confessed. Deal with these things before you come to him. Don't try to be like those people who think they can hijack the presence of God. You cannot hijack the presence of God. What does that mean? You cannot come to the presence of God with a sinful heart and think that you're going to get blessed. That is the point. You are trying to hijack the presence of God. Friends, are you aware that we do not approach God the way we want? We do not approach God on our own terms and conditions, but his terms and conditions. That is what Jesus is saying here. God sets the standard, not human beings, not me. I don't set the standard. I preach the word. Psalm 15, verse 1 to 3. Those who have a privilege of a good memory. I preached on this text just years ago. It says, O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall come to your presence, O God? Who shall worship you? Who may bring gifts unto you? Who shall dwell on your holy hill, O God? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speak truth in his own heart. Who does not slander or gossip with his tongue, who does not do evil to his neighbor, nor take up a reproach against his friend. Church, bringing a holy and a pleasing worship to God is impossible when you're still holding on your hand your self-importance like the Pharisees. Get off your high horse and go and seek reconciliation with your brother. That is the point here. So that you may come then and be in the presence of God. So that you may come then and be the one who is, say, the Bible says there, is welcome to the presence of God. Why is this so? Because you are the peacemaker, remember? We read in chapter number 5, we are the peacemakers. The world is not the peacemaker. Your enemy is not the peacemaker. We are the peacemakers, the children of God, washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at this verse very carefully, you realize that it is not enough then
to keep your anger within and say, ah, make me angry, I'll deal with it. One day, God will forgive. No. God is not waiting for that. You must forgive. God doesn't have the problem. You have the problem. People keep it. Ah, one day, it will be fine. You know, I just don't want to approach people. He got me angry, so he must come to me. Friends, get out of that high horse. Jesus says, you take the initiative. You are the peacemaker. Don't be like the Israelites of the old who brought sick, lame animals to sacrifice to God. Because if you come with such an heart to God, you are bringing false worship. That is what God is saying here. He's teaching us. You see, I told you, Jesus is now trying to warn us of the things that are dangerous to us, especially things that are dangerous to us in relation with our relationship with God. So it is clear, my friends, that the murderers and an angry heart affects the relationship between man and God. And for that reason, no one then should expect to be accepted before God. You need to do justice with your brother and sister. You need to live peacefully with other people. Do not claim to have a good relationship with God. Do not claim to be, we have this way today, do not claim to be a worshipper. There are people who call themselves worshippers, while we all worshippers actually, not a specific people. So let us not claim to be worshippers of God if we have a problem with our friends, or thinking that it doesn't matter how we deal with other people. It does matter how we deal with other people. It does matter what you think of other people. In your heart, it does matter. Bringing out, bringing to the Lord, be cleansed. Be ye reconciled to God. Be ye reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. And when you are reconciled to God, you understand the importance of reconciliation. Reconcile with your friend as well. Reconcile with your brother. Reconcile with your husband. Reconcile with your wife. Reconcile at school. Calvin, Tabang, Nyakeng. Reconcile. That's what Jesus is saying here. Reconciliation matters. So if you don't care how you treat people or how necessary is this reconciliation, like I said, something is wrong with you and judgment is coming upon you. Verse 26. Come quickly. Sorry, 25 and 26. Come quickly. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are still going with him to court. Lest your accuser hand you over to the judge to the guard, and the guard hand you over to the prison. And I tell you, my friends, you will pay each and every penny. You will never go out until you pay. That is what Jesus says. It means that don't play a game. When there's a problem, solve it now. If you think you're going to solve it later, it will come and burn you. And you will pay the price. There's consequences. This is trying to show you that if there are consequences here on earth, on matters like this, there are consequences in heaven on matters like this. Friends, our relationship matters. So expect to pay full price. Why? Because you have a spiritual condition, a problematic spiritual condition. You have hatred. So what is the exhortation or the warning here, my friends? Do all in your power to bring about reconciliation. It depends on you, regardless of what the other person says or feel about it. It is in your hand to bring about reconciliation. Once you do that, leave the matter in the hands of a faithful God. Let me put it this way. Perhaps you are a child of a divorce like me. You grew up with a stepfather or a stepmother, but in that process, a lot of things happened from where you lived and then moved to another place and another place. A lot of things happened. You are still angry with your parents. We are singing that soul brother's song. Mama wang laya wasukana no baba. Nyakukumbula mama wam. That's what you're singing each and every day. Maybe that is you. Friends, you need to look at the word of God. You need to seek reconciliation. Seek reconciliation. Because this thing only hurts you. It doesn't hurt the other person. Sinful anger hurts you.
You must be reconciled to the person. Forgive and forget. I'm not saying write your letter to forgive and forget for ETV. No. Forgive and forget. We must forgive, my friends. That is what Jesus is saying here. Because you're only hurting yourself. You're only hurting your relationship with God. You're holding something within your heart. Now you cannot deal with God. So do not allow the issues of this life, my friend, especially the issues of past life, to hinder your relationship today with God. Deal with it while there is still time. Jesus wants you to offer in the house of the Lord. He wants this bag full in the house of the Lord. But rather be reconciled than think you're going to come and offer. Because why? Offering, whatever it is, it must come from a pure heart. So Jesus' aim here is that we see the agency of reconciliation. We must see that agency of reconciliation. We must settle all our grievances against each other, because we are those of peace. Settle your grievances before the world laugh at you. That is what he's saying in verse 26. When you get to court, they will put you in jail and you will pay everything. The world is going to laugh at you. Ah, they should have sorted that thing. Why are they standing in court for this? You see, that's the example. You should have sorted it. Jesus says, sort things out. It's important. Sort it out. That is the point here. Don't be like the Pharisees. And friends, if your conscience does not condemn you, I'm going to repeat myself, something's wrong with you. And if your conscience condemns you, repent. Then come before God and worship God, and your worship will be acceptable before the living God. Let me close in this way. Jesus is calling us to a life of righteousness. The righteousness which exceeds that of the scribe and the Pharisees. And he says that is possible for us. It is possible because in him we have found grace. Remember, verse 1, verse 2, downwards, blessed, 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 you are the blessed. So it is possible for you to deal with these matters. It is possible for you to deal with your sin and also deal with the sin of another, because you have found grace, you have found favor in God. Your heart has been cleansed. A new life has come unto you. It is possible for you. So don't kill people within your heart because you are breaking God's law. Respect other people. Remember that every man is made in the image of God. Do not murder the image of God within your heart. Do not hate people. Do not exercise sinful anger against another person, because that is the works of the flesh. It leads to a violent flood of waves. Listen to what James chapter 1 verse 20 says, if you write down. Be slow to anger, for anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So, do not allow anger to act on your behalf or speak for you. Remember how many bad decisions people have made because of sinful anger and ignorance to the word of God. Homes are falling apart because people have taken decision in anger. People have ended up on the streets because of wrong decision, because of anger. And consequently, in doing so, they have murdered their own future, as it were. And then on the process, you drag the future of other people with you down the drain. Start from sinful anger. And it ends up involving even children who does not know anything about anything. So don't let anger control you. Have self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Don't try to be religious to hide your problem. Confess your problem to God. Repent. And when someone calls you to be angry, forgive and forget. If you love God, you will not allow anything to hinder your worship. If you love God, you will not allow anything to come between you and God. Always strive to worship God with a pure heart. That is the point today. And may the good Lord bless us as we think of these things. Until we meet again next year, next week and dealing with the issue of lust. Let's pray.